Hello, dark feminine women. This is Leslie Tavernier, and I'm here with you today for a very special episode with my dark masculine man. And I'm going to be asking him some very, very tough questions today, which I think you're going to enjoy. But before we get into all of that, I'm going to just say to you a little bit about the dark feminine, dark masculine polarity, pairing, whatever you want to call it, because there's still quite a bit of confusion about what that really is. Some people associate dark. When they hear the word dark, they think evil, bad, scary. And so I don't necessarily mean that. I simply mean like it's the difference between the daytime when there's sunshine and sunlight and nighttime when you just have the light of the moon or the street lights. And so at night when it's dark, you can't see as clearly. You can't see as well. You may not be able to see anything at all, depending on where you are. And so your sense of sight is at a disadvantage. And so now you have to either improve your night vision or you have to see in with a different sense. You have to awaken your third eye. You have to see with your psychic sense. And this is what happens in the dark feminine, dark masculine dynamic. It's a dynamic where it doesn't really make sense logically. It can be confusing and it can be very, very difficult to navigate when you don't understand the process of alchemy. That's what this relationship is all about. It's about alchemizing pain into power. Alchemizing pain into power, and most people don't know how to do that, and that's why this relationship dynamic ends up being labeled quite often as a toxic relationship or a trauma bond or simply anxious attachment and love avoidance or love addiction and avoidance. And most people don't know how to milk it, how to, turn lead into gold. And so that's what this is about. It's about alchemy. It's about turning lead into gold, pain into power, so that you as a woman become a much more powerful witch. And your dark masculine man, he becomes a more powerful warrior or warlock, or he just becomes more effective in his life. So it does take know-how. It does require support because, as I said, most people don't know how to do this. And so that's why I'm here, and that's why my dark masculine man is here. So before we get into the questions, I'm going to now ask my dark masculine man to introduce himself to us.
Peace and blessings. My name is Carly Stevens Jr., aka Rakim Sekou, and I am the co-founder and CEO of the Mystery School at mysteryschool.live, relationship coach and expert, author, and been on TV, et cetera, et cetera. So I've been around for a while teaching about relationships and metaphysics and spirituality for about 20 years.
Awesome. So, Rakim, you shared a quote on your Instagram, I think about a month and a half ago. And the quote was, "A woman's power is in her ability to make her man do what she wants him to do," period. This is an exact quote from you. So I would like you to explain to us what you mean by that quote.
Well, that quote's not really complicated. I mean, when you look up the definition of the word power in a dictionary, it says the ability to change and shift your environment. So that includes people's behavior around you. That includes what you're seeing and experiencing on a day-to-day basis. That includes, you see what I'm saying, your financial situation, your financial state, how your children are showing up. So that's what power actually is. I'm not really changing the definition or saying anything that's brand new here. So basically, for women, when you're in your power, yes, you're able to shift your relationship. You're able to shape your relationship. And that includes how your man shows up to you. So it means that your man's able to show up in a way that you desire him to show up. If you're not in your power as a woman, then no, you're not going to be able to change anything. Your environment's not going to change. Your money's not going to change. The way your man shows up is not going to be able to change. And this is what we basically teach at the Mystery School. So that's what power is. So if you're not really into feminine empowerment, if you're a woman who's not in your power, that's fine. That just means that you don't have the ability to change and shift your environment or change and shift your relationship. But what we teach and what we focus on at the Mystery School is actual empowerment. And that's what we mean when we say empowerment. There's no use of being empowered if you can't change anything in your life or your environment or relationship. So this is what we're talking about. And if a woman's not in her power and she can't shift her relationship, which is the most basic thing that she should be able to change, especially because she has access to this man and she's usually very desirous of this man showing up a particular way. If you can't shift that, then you probably can't shift anything. If you can't shift your relationship and your man, you can probably look at the rest of your life and say, well, yeah, I'm not able to shift very much of my life, not just my relationship, but my finances, my health, my environment. None of these things are actually changing. So I didn't think I was very, you know, different from the dictionary version of power when I put that quote out there.
Okay, I understand what you're saying about power, but the tricky part is when you say she can make him do what she wants to do. And here's why that's tricky, because the previous episode that we did together, we talked about freedom-based love, which from my understanding, freedom-based love is about accepting the person as he is. So if you're saying the woman can change him to her liking, then how does that match up with freedom-based love?
Well, yeah, you know, freedom-based love says, yes, accept your partner for who he is. So a lot of women are trying to change their partner because they don't like who he is. That's not what we're talking about, right? I mean, yeah, love who he is, but also create the relationship dynamic you want. So love who he is today, love who he was yesterday, love who he's going to be tomorrow, love the changes he's going to make and go through over the next months and years, et cetera. Like, actually love your man. You see what I'm saying? So I'm not saying anything that's different. Yes, love the man you're with for exactly who he is and how he shows up and his habits and his level of responsibility and all those things now. And you can also shift the relationship to be something different or more or whatever it is you want to be and love that man when he shows up in that way too. So again, freedom-based love is talking about actually loving somebody for who they are, not despising them for who they are right now, and you're only going to love them if they do certain things or if they change. That's not love. That's not freedom-based love, and that's not really a relationship. That's okay. Something that's a lot different.
Okay, so you're saying that the prerequisite to changing him or shifting him or making him do what you want him to do is you have to actually love him as he
no,
is?
No, I'm not saying that's the prerequisite, no.
Okay.
No, I mean, What I'm saying is, if you're actually loving your partner and you're actually inside a freedom-based love dynamic, then you love him now.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying. And I'm also saying, in terms of the power dynamic, that you can also change and shift and reshape your relationship to be what it is you desire it to be. And when he changes and when he starts doing things differently, you also love that version of him. Now, you can change things if you don't like or love your partner right now. You can still change things and shift things. It's just not love, right? You just don't love him for who he is. And it's not freedom-based love, and it's not actual love, and it's not an actual relationship. You see what I'm saying? Okay. It's more of a, you know, some kind of arrangement or a situationship or something you have with him, and you're not going to love him or really be in a real relationship until he's actually doing certain things that you want. It's what we call conditional love, or romantic love, where you only will love this person if they show up in a very particular way for you. And so we don't really condone that because it's not a foundation to build your relationship on.
Okay, fair enough. So now I'm going to ask you the really tough questions, because this is what women really want to know. So a lot of women that are involved with a dark masculine man, the dark masculine man just so happens to have another woman, or maybe several other women. He might be married. And so I've encountered quite a number of women who the change that they want to see is they want him to leave his girlfriend and only be with her, or divorce his wife and marry her instead. So in that scenario, how can she make him leave his girlfriend or divorce his wife and only be with her?
Yeah, I think the best way to look at it is she showing up for him in such a way where she can be enough for him to be with just her? So it requires her to improve herself in such a way and find her power in such a way where she can be everything that her dark masculine man needs, wants, and desires. So it's very easy. If she shows up in a way and she provides him the things that he's looking for, and she is, you know, able to love him and do all these different things where he realizes she's all I really need, then of course, you know, the dark master man's going to leave his current situation, whether it's a wife or a girlfriend or whatever, and be with her. But he has to look at her and say, well, she's actually a better alternative. She's actually giving me all the things that I need. And all, that's all women have to do. If they want to actually get their man to leave a current situation that he's really enjoying, she has to be more. She has to be better. She has to be the, you know, a much, much better option for him. And so, yeah, she just has to do that work. She's got to make those changes and those shifts. So, you know, anybody's willing to do that. You know, that's what people do. You know, you're at a job right now making $100,000 a year. Somebody else offers you $250,000 a year. You're going to leave that job. Why? Because the new company's offering you more. They're showing up better. They're giving you more than you're currently experiencing. That's all it really is. And we're, as human beings, we're always leveling up and looking for the next best opportunity. Those types of things is really just human nature. So yeah, a woman who wants her man to leave has to be much, much better than what he's currently experiencing at home.
Okay, I have two questions about
okay.
that. Okay, so first of all, is this ethical? Is it ethical for her to take that on, that I'm going to give him so much value that he's going to divorce his wife and be with me? Is that ethical?
Well, I don't get into ethics. I'm not here to tell women what to do. You know, that's between you and your God and who you worship, and or between you and your own personal conscience or whatever. I don't believe in the concept of right or wrong or any of that kind of stuff. I'm letting women know, if you want to create the life that you want to create, here's how you get into your feminine empowerment, and here's how you begin to shift those things. It's up to you to choose what you're going to do with that. So again, I don't get into ethics. That's for each individual woman or man to decide on their own, like what's ethical, what's not. I have no desire or business in getting into those personal choices.
Wow. Okay. Okay. So what's the difference between her becoming more such that he would want to only be with her versus fawning, what's called fawning or people pleasing? Like, how do you differentiate between the two?
Well, I don't know. I mean, if people pleasing means that she's actually doing what the man wants her to do and what he values, mm-hmm. and what he sees as being attractive and what he sees as being fulfilling for him, then I guess they're probably one and the same. You know, people pleasing is just a judgment. Mm-hmm. You know, for one person, it's people pleasing. For somebody else, it's actually showing up for their man or loving him in his love expression or giving him what he values. So again, these are just labels and judgments that people put on things. It just depends on a person's perspective. You see what I'm saying? I don't really know if there is a difference. I think it's the judgment of the individual. Some women will say, well, that's people pleasing. So, okay, it's people pleasing. Other women will say, no, I just want to love my man the way he wants to be loved. And because I love him, I'm going to show up in the way that he values. And so I think it's just a matter of perspective.
Okay. Okay. Wow. That's so interesting. So what if the woman wants to be loved as she is? Like, how, if she's constantly trying to be what he wants her to be, or what he wants his ideal woman to be, when does she get to be loved as she is?
Well, all women get to be loved as they are. The issue that women are having is they're saying, well, I want this man over here to love me as I am, or I want this person to love me. And that's not how the world works. Just like there's certain jobs, they're like, well, I'm not going to take you for the skills you have. You have to go get the skills that we need in order for me to take you on, hire you, and pay you money. So sometimes people have these like kind of weird views of the world where they think they can just show up any old kind of way and feel they can get the entire world. Like people are just going to shower them with money and everybody's going to want to date them no matter who they are or what they do or how they function or what they say or speak. And that's not how the world works. So, you know, these are women to me are having, they're really confused about what life actually is. No, be yourself if you want to be loved for yourself. And then when the men come to love you for who you actually are, then you accept and receive that love. That's how you receive love for being yourself. But no, if you're trying to make somebody love you for who you are right now and they're not doing it, then, you know, you're just kind of confused about what life's all about. Nobody's going to just automatically love you for who you are. The people who are attracted to you for who you are and who love you for who you are will show up for that in that way for you right now, and you'll be able to enjoy that. The people who don't see the value in who you are and are not attracted to who you are not. And that's how life works. And we've all experienced that for our entire lives.
Okay, so can a woman make her dark masculine man desire her as much as she desires him?
Yeah, again, she can, you know, help him actually desire her in the same way she desires him if she's showing up and matches the vibration of what's required for him to desire her. Yeah. Again, the issue that a lot of women have is they don't want to do anything that's going to support her man and actually seeing her in a similar way that she sees him. So again, women have to do the work. They got to make the changes if they want this specific man and if he's not showing up in a particular way right now. And so, yeah, absolutely. You know, these women can have this man all over them and loving them and proposing to them and all these things. The question is, are you showing up in that way, that in a way that he values, in a way that he wants to, you know, be committed to? If you are, then he'll do that. If you're not, then he won't. And if he's not doing it currently, you have some changes to make because you want this one particular man. So the burden is on you. Mm-hmm. If he's pursuing you, then you don't have to make any changes. Mm-hmm. If you're pursuing him, then you have to make the changes. Again, the same thing with anything else. If I'm trying to get into Harvard University, I'm pursuing them. I have to do the things that's required so I can get accepted into that university. It's yeah. not them changing so I can go to their school. These are very, very basic concepts of the universe. You see okay. what I'm saying? So again, if women think that they don't have to do anything different and have this specific man to love them or to accept them in the way they want to be accepted, then they're just delusional about the realities of life.
Oh, wow. Okay. So what if a woman is dealing with a man who... maybe he's not really in his masculine and he wants her to spend money on him, or she's been spending money on him and she's kind of getting tired of it. But like, that's the only thing that seems to be working is spend money on him. Is she supposed to just keep spending money on him?
Does she want to be with him? I mean, if that's...
But not if, like that. It's too expensive.
If the man's saying, look, I don't see the value in you in these other areas to the point where I'm going to show up the way you want me to show up, then you got to show me other value areas. You see what I'm saying? So I don't think that's a situation where she needs to spend the money on him. Like I said earlier, she has to show the value and where, you know, he would want to be with her in that way. So she's got to find something. You see what I'm saying? Again, she's pursuing a man who is not pursuing her back in the same way. So mm-hmm. the burden is on her to make the changes and the shifts. You see what I'm saying? And this is where the whole power conversation comes in, why I teach women to get into their power so that you can actually make those changes and shifts, but do it in a feminine way. So it's not like you're out running around and, you know, out in the streets acting crazy. You're just making subtle shifts within you, within your psyche, within your being, that helps to change the situation. You see what I'm saying? So again, you know, the money thing, it just depends on what he's looking for. No different than, you know, like when you look at women who are with men who have money, mm-hmm. they want the man who has the money. And if he doesn't have any money or he stops spending money on her, that woman's going to leave him. Mm-hmm. Women got to understand it works the same both ways. You see what I'm saying? Like if he's with you because you're spending money, because he doesn't see the other value points in being with you, then you have to continue to do that if you want to be with him. And that's just the way it goes. Welcome to the dating world.
Okay. This is, you're making it very cut and dry.
It is. It's very cut and dry. It's not complicated.
Okay. Because
No, say the only complicated part about it is the feminine, you know, energy and the feminine consciousness part of it. That's a bit elusive and takes study. But in terms of what people need to do to secure what they want, it's pretty much cut and dry.
Because I've had clients who they're dating a married man and they've said to me, look, he's not even having sex with his wife. They're in a sexless marriage. And the only reason he's continuing to stay with her is because his wife has money and property and or they have children and whatever. Like that's like it's just purely material reasons why he's staying with his wife. And so they're confused. They're like, I don't like he's having amazing sex with me. He's not having sex with his wife. The only advantage that she has is she has money. And women get really, they're like, so I tell him, well, you if you want him to leave her for you, then you have to have money. And
Well, it's not
they
just
feel
about
weird
money.
about that.
It's not just about money. Those women don't understand the dynamic of what's happening. Okay. So let's take an example. The man's married to a woman, been married for a long time. She has money and properties. They have children together. He's not just staying with her because she has money. It's like any woman who thinks that, that's why she probably is not in a relationship, because she doesn't understand some of the bigger pictures. First of all, by him staying with her, he is able to build a legacy for himself, meaning he's able to grow old, have children, grandchildren, the family structure, and those people look at him and look up to him and, include him as a patriarch in the family. You see what I'm saying? So, no, legacy is important. If I've put in 15 years, 20 years, 25 years into a marriage, I've built something. I've built community, I've built a kingdom, I've built, a legacy for myself. And so, no, it's not just that my wife has money, it's that I've invested time and energy in a situation that's contributing to me and my legacy here on earth. In addition to that, yeah, the money thing is important. You see what I'm saying? Like, the money that his wife has is also his money. M remember, marriage is a legal contract with the state. So it's not just that she has money. No, he also has money. If she were to leave him or something were to happen to her, he would get that money or get half of that money. So again, these women are looking at it the wrong way. If you're not with this man, you're not legally tied to him, you haven't given him anything, you haven't given him a shared bank account, you haven't bought a property and put in his name, you haven't done anything substantial, then your money means nothing to him. What you have means nothing to him relative to, from a financial standpoint, because he already has that with his wife, and he has a legacy, and he has the respect of his children, the respect of his community. So again, these women are not looking at it the right way. Great sex, is, especially as men get older in age, again, their 40s and 50s and 60s, that's not going to be enough to really pull me away from a potential legacy that I've built with my wife and all the assets that we've accumulated together. And what I'm receiving from my kids and community and family in terms of accolades and all that kind of stuff, that's a lot. Like, women don't understand, like, when men are of the maturity level, they understand to build a legacy and how important that is. They're not going to be pulled from that very easily. You have to really invest in him in a very overt and heavy way to get him to even consider leaving that situation. And that's what a lot of women don't understand.
That's true. That's true. Because like I've been with a lot of married men when I used to do sex work, and all of them said to me, they're not leaving their wife at all, ever. They're not divorcing their wife. Even if it was sexless, they don't care. They're not leaving their wife and their children and their grandchildren, because you're right, legacy is extremely important to most men. And so if a woman is with a man who's like, I'm not giving up my legacy, I'm not giving up what I've accumulated with my wife, even though we're not romantic, we're not having sex, and the woman still wants him to herself, what does she do in that scenario?
Well, it's like I told you, she needs to understand the actual dynamic, because he's not going to say, I'm not going to leave my wife because I'm building a legacy. Like, he's not going to say that. He might say, yeah, we're sexless and we're not really as close as we used to. She's probably having an affair and he probably knows it. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, again, if she wants to be with him, she has to show supreme value. So what are you offering me that's going to be more than the legacy I've built and am building? That's going to be more than the money that I've accumulated with my wife and the assets and the resources. That's, it has to be more than My children looked at me crazy because I left their mother and broke the family up. So I don't think women, especially single women, don't understand, who are dating married men, understand this dynamic. They don't understand how much they have to actually invest in a man like that to actually have him consider leaving that situation. They think it's just like the sex is enough to pull him away, especially because he's enjoying it so much. And he's, you know, he really loves this woman because of the sex they're having and what they're sharing. And he does value those things. But, you know, there's a misconception out here that women think all men are shallow. And they just want sex, and that's the primary thing that they want. And it's true that a lot of men are kind of in that space, especially men who are not, they don't have access to sex. They're not getting a lot of sex. They will do a lot and leave a lot and take a lot of risks just for sex. Mm-hmm. But, you know, a married man who's been married for 20 or 30 years and kind of built this legacy, he doesn't care anymore. You know, his sex drive is not as high as it was when he was in his 20s. He's enjoying things like food and pornography just as much as he would real sex. You see what I'm saying? Like it's just a different set of priorities. So I think these women you're talking about who are dating married men, they're not really looking at this in the proper way. They're taking their stereotypical view of men and trying to impose that upon these men that they're dating. And they're confused why he won't leave their situation. And it's like, no, you're, the stereotypical view is not accurate. These are men who have built something. Yeah. These are men who value stability. These are men who value peace. The other thing about these married men, in many cases, yes, it's true that him and the wife are not having sex anymore. But what, you know what else is also true? They don't argue. Like he can go home to relative peace. A lot of men in relationships and marriages, they don't have access to peace inside their marriage, because the wife is giving them a hard time or vice versa. And it's a lot of drama at home. When a man actually gets to a place where his marriage is peaceful and he can go home, relax, watch the game, not worry about too much, you see what I'm saying? That's extremely valuable to him. When he sees the woman that he's dating and she has like a lot of drama tied to her and she's always, you know, begging for this and complaining about that, men see that as a red flag. I'm not going to leave a peaceful situation to go be in a situation where, you know, somebody's always complaining. Somebody's always trying to find something wrong with what I'm doing or what I'm saying or whatever. Like, no sane human being, especially a man, is going to go to that situation. Mm. You know, one of the things I always try to tell people with my situation and the open relating thing, right? I try to help women understand, like, look, with me and my first wife, Kenya, we're at a place where we have like amazing peace in our relationship. Like I can do and say pretty much whatever I want with her and we'll either joke it off or laugh it off, or it's just whatever. You see what I'm saying? I'm not going to a situation with a woman where it's a bunch of drama, where she's complaining and tripping out and all. Like, why would I do that? Why would I leave a woman who basically supports me in everything I want to do? And whenever I want to time to myself, or if I want to date other women, like that woman supports me in that, versus being with a woman who's going to complain about it or have an issue or be in her emotions about it. I would never leave, you see what I'm saying? A beautiful, peaceful, loving situation with no drama to go to a drama situation. Women don't understand how much men hate being in those situations. How much hair it takes off our head, how gray it makes us. We're just not into it. So again, these women that you're talking about, you need to help them understand, Leslie, that there's more than what they're thinking there is between the husband and the wife. Mm. It's not just, oh, he's sexless in that marriage, so he should want to leave. Absolutely not.
Yeah. Wow. Amazing. Okay. I know you've already kind of answered this, but I have to, it had it all listed out, so I'm going to ask it anyway. If a woman is dealing with a polyamorous man, whether he's open about it or he's you know, hiding it. and she's like, I ideally would like him to be monogamous with me. Is it your same answer? She just has to be more?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, if a man loves a woman in that way, even if he's poly or whatever, then he'll be monogamous with her. I've had women come to me and say, hey, Rakim, I want to date you. I know you're open. You're the open king. but I want you to be monogamous with me for like a year or 2 years or whatever. And I've considered that. You see what I'm saying? Because when you love a woman and you see the value in her and you see the value in a relationship, then you're willing to consider it. But it's not just always about just because of her ego or whatever, want to be monogamous. Sometimes you want to offer her that so that, you know, she has the space to kind of grow into a comfortable place in the relationship. So there's a number of reasons why a man might want to do it. So again, the woman, you know, you have to develop a relationship with this man. You have to be somebody that he values highly. You've got to show up in his life in a way that, you know, you're increasing him and multiplying him and, you know, supporting him in what he's about and his mission and those types of things. And yeah, he'll definitely consider that. You see what I'm saying? Then the other aspect of it is, again, a woman being inside of her power. If she's inside of her power, she's doing her feminine work, then she can also influence the situation in that. That, how does she do that? She's doing it through helping him have more love and vulnerable feelings for her, and therefore him wanting to do more for her, including possibly being monogamous with her. So all these things are possible. You see what I'm saying? I've had women have the opposite. Women who are in a strictly monogamous situation with their husband, and they're like, hey, Rakim, how can I get him to be poly? Because I want to go date other people. I don't want him up under me all the time or holding me back from what I really want. How can I get that to happen? It's the same exact thing. And I've helped clients do that. And they're, you know, they've had success doing it where they were strictly monogamous. Their husband's like, no, you can't date or whatever, all the way to him being open to her dating and then him being poly, you know? Mm-hmm. So yes, a woman, that's what I mean. A woman can create and shape the relationship any way she wants to do it, but she's has to do the work.
Gotcha. So, okay. There was something floating around in my head, and I'm just like,
Take your time.
When I get it to come back. Like,
it'll come back. It's not going nowhere.
Okay. What if she's not sure about what it is that he highly values? Like, because a lot of men don't necessarily communicate. A lot of men are not even really sure what it is that they highly value. So how does a woman figure that out?
The same way a man figures out what, you know, type of sexual pleasure a woman likes and what her points are. You see what I'm saying? So again, from your history being in the sex work industry, you know, the question is, well, how does a man know where to touch you and what you like? Well, one way is he can ask. You see what I'm saying? Because as a woman, you know how you like to be touched. The other way is he can be observant and explore. So he can touch you in different ways and do different things. And then when he sees you react in a very positive or favorable way, he can say, oh, that's one of her spots that she really enjoys. Same thing with a woman who's trying to understand what a man values. One, she can ask him, hey, what are some of the things that are important to you? Now, I guarantee you this. Most men in most situations have already told their woman that they're dating what they value. The issue is that women don't really listen to what men say and men's direction a lot of times because they're so focused on what they want out of the relationship. But men are very good at indicating, and it's not going to be some big thing. They'll just let you know the things that are important to them. Like they might say, I really like women who can cook, or I love food, or, you know, I love peace or whatever. That's the man saying what he values. He values a woman who's going to bring him food, or who's going to nurture him in that way, or a woman who's going to give him peace and not be a headache. Like, but the women aren't listening to what he's saying. So again, for those women, you got to go back and ask them, well, what are some of the things that you value? What are some of the things that are important to you in a relationship? And then when he says those things, you actually have to go out and do them. Now, there are probably going to be other things that he's not going to say because he's not thinking about it. Mm-hmm. That's your job as a woman who apparently or supposedly loves this man, to watch and observe him. Listen to what he says more closely. Look at how he responds to certain things. Look at how he responds to things on TV. If he sees something on TV he really likes, or if he shows like, oh, I love how the woman did this couple, you know, this, her husband in this scene of the movie or whatever, like you have to watch and observe and take notes. You see what I'm saying? Too many women aren't paying attention to what their man is really saying and doing and the things he's indicating. But most people, they tell you what they want. They tell you the things they're looking for. And it's, you know, if you're not able to pick up on that, it means you're not really tied into your partner.
Okay. So just say a woman is dating a man who has a girlfriend. His girlfriend is public, but she's a secret. And she asks him, you know, what is it that he wants? And it just seems to be that he wants sex, but yet he's continuing to have a girlfriend where it's not really about the sex, but she can't really figure out like what it is that she can give him so that he leaves his girlfriend. Like, what about that scenario?
So you're saying that he's with the girlfriend and they're not having great sex, him and the girlfriend aren't?
Maybe, maybe not, but.
Because if he's having great sex with the girlfriend, then him having great sex with the other woman is not gonna, that's a wash.
Okay. So say he's having great sex with my client and he's having average sex with his girlfriend, but he's clearly prioritizing the girlfriend. He's not gonna leave the girlfriend. And the client is like, I don't understand. I'm giving him amazing sex and that's all he says he wants from me. So what then?
Well, to me, there's a few things. One is a situation where that's the value he sees in her is the sexual value. So the other things that he would need to see in her to prioritize her over his girlfriend, he doesn't see that in her. Mm-hmm. It could be looks. It could be a financial thing. It could be he sees his girlfriend as being more peaceful and less drama. It could be, you know, he just likes the situation he has with his girlfriend because they can build together, or he sees the potential in the relationship. Like, or maybe a lot of times a woman don't understand is a lot of times men like to keep their wives and girlfriends because they're easier to cheat on. So they're more naive. So he's with a girlfriend who doesn't really know the game and how men work, and he can really easily cheat on her. So he's like, I'm not going to trade that in for some woman who's going to be on my ass every time I step out of the house. You see what I'm saying? So again, but that goes back to peace.
Yeah.
You know, overall, he's with a woman who lets him live the life he wants to live. He has relative peace with her. So again, as these women, they need to look at the situation and see, well, what is he really valuing between him and his girlfriend? And saying, well, do I measure up in that same way? Am I going to be more of a pain in the neck than his girlfriend is? Am I able to, you know, build with him in a way that the way his girlfriend's building with him? You know, you got to look at those types of things and assess them honestly. And if it boils down to where he only wants you for sex and that's not what you wanted, you got to move on and find somebody else.
Okay. When you said the word make in your quotation, her ability to make him do what she wants to do, like that gave me the impression that you're talking about like magic and spells. So is that included in your quotation? Like putting spells on him to make him do what you want him to do?
No, I'm not talking about putting spells on a man per se. I'm really just talking about utilizing feminine energy as a way to change and shift your environment. You know, like the whole power thing I was saying before. So it's not, I don't really believe in the whole spells thing. I don't believe in women doing that because I don't feel that that's what they need to do. Mm. You know, it's not necessary. To me, when you're using the spells and stuff like that, you're really saying like, I don't have the ability to really, you know, bring my authentic self to the table and use the skills and my feminine energy to create my life. So I got to try to find some other kind of subversive way to make it happen. And if that's the case, then it's going to end in failure anyway. You see what I'm saying? It's not going to be the kind of situation you want. So I don't recommend the spells and stuff like that. Now, you can use spells when you have his permission to use spells, or you could, if he wants to do spells with you or do love magic with you or do bonding rituals with you and that kind of stuff. Or if he says like, yeah, you go ahead and do what you want, you know, whatever, you see what I'm saying? Then fine, then you can do it in that case because he's giving you his consent. Mm-hmm. But no, I don't believe in really doing that outside of that. When I say make, I'm really just saying, creating the relationship that you want. Not that you're forcing him to do something against his will. I'm just saying creating your man and your relationship in the way that you desire to see it.
Okay. So you're talking about provide more value, provide more of what he values.
Well, yeah, part of its value, again, there's two parts of what I'm saying. One part is, using your feminine energy and tapping into feminine power. Feminine power allows you to change your environment. It allows you to influence your environment, where your environment actually changes. Again, I invite people to look up the word power in a dictionary. I think it's like the second or third definition says exactly that. Power is the ability to change and shift your environment and to have people do what you want them to do. Mm-hmm. That's what power is. So, yeah, part of it's power, right? So if you have power, then you can shift your relationship, which mm-hmm. includes your man's behavior. But yes, it's also value. When you see a situation where you're a man that you're dating or interested in is not, leaving his current situation or not giving you more of a priority, then it comes down to both power and value.
Okay.
He's not seeing the value in being with you. And again, as a woman, you have to be honest with yourself about why he's not seeing the value in you. Because if you're not honest and you're not assessing it correctly, you're not going to be able to make any changes or shifts in your life.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to look at it realistically and say, okay, what is it that he doesn't see in me? Is it my looks? Is it my lack of money? Am I too dramatic? Too much maintenance? Is it that I'm not, industrious enough? Is it that, what is it that he's not seeing in me?
Mm-hmm.
And if you want that particular man, you have to make the changes and adjustments.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I want to be clear to your audience, I'm not saying women, you have to change to receive love, because you don't. There's men out there right now who love you for exactly who you are. But I understand what you're saying. You're talking about women who want a specific man, a particular man. And for those women, you have to do the work. You have to make the changes.
Okay. In your book, The Art of Open Relating, Volume 3.
Here we go.
You talked about having a woman put a love spell on you. And you said you liked the fact that you were under a love spell. Like it literally caused you to fall in love with her. So you're saying you don't recommend spells, but at the same time, like you were under a spell. And according to what you said in the book, you liked being under the spell. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I love spells when they're put on. Because first of all, remember, I'm a metaphysician and a priest.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no love spell a woman's going to put on me that I don't recognize or that I'm not more powerful than, right? Mm-hmm. So for me, a love spell acts like, it's almost like foreplay, you see what I'm saying? Or it's like, mm-hmm. it's almost like making love or just, being in this enchanted state that feels really good. Almost like taking, a microdose of mushrooms or something like that. It just feels really good. I don't fall under the power of any spells, but again, that's me. I'm a spiritual man. I'm a priest. I teach women how to do love spells. The probability of women doing that to me and actually overcoming my will is almost zero. You see what I'm saying? So I really enjoy that. You see what I'm saying? So I give, the women I'm dating, especially when they ask me, like, I want to do a love spell. You go ahead. It'll feel amazing. I can't wait to feel how it feels. You see what I'm saying? So okay. that's me. That's because I'm in that area of spirituality where, it's not a big deal for me.
Okay. So you're saying if she's successful, that's impressive to you, but you would know that the spell is happening because you're a metaphysician.
Oh yeah.
And absolutely. You kind of flow with it.
I can always tell when a woman's doing some kind of spiritual work or spell work. Like I can just tell. If I don't dream about it, I can see it a mile away. I can see the changes. I can see the changes in me. Like, oh, why did I have a thought about her all of a sudden? That's not normal. It must be a spell or her doing something or whatever. So I know exactly how this stuff works. I know exactly how it manifests itself. So I'm very clear on that. And then I decide, do I want to go ahead and go with the flow of the spell and just kind of see where it goes and how it feels? Or do I want to just go ahead and cut it off?
Okay. I think you said you don't recommend spells, though. So what was the reason again that you said you don't recommend it? Is it
Well,
because
again,
they're
it's not.
temporary?
Yeah, love spells are temporary. You don't need to use them. You can just use your feminine energy, your feminine power, and that really shapes things a lot better. Because when you use feminine energy and feminine power, it also draws the man to you, right? So it helps him to love and appreciate you more and be more connected to you. You see what I'm saying? And it really improves the relationship. So, love spells are saying, I don't really have the power and the ability to really pull this man on my own with my authentic self. Let me try to figure some other tool out outside of me that's going to bring him to me. And that very rarely works. If it does work, it's only temporary.
Sorry, my brain is what happening. Like, I have the question in my head, and then as soon as you stop talking, I forget what the question is. Okay, oh, I know what it is because you have another book, The Nine Express. See, I'm promoting you, Rakim. The
Thank
Nine
you.
Expressions of Love. You talk about the masculine expressions, the feminine, the androgynous. So if you're dealing with a man who what he values is your masculine expression,
Yep.
but you don't want to be masculine with him necessarily. What do you do then?
Well, you got to be clear on what the masculine expression is. Like, for example, my first wife, Kenya, she has masculine energy. And I value that in her. That's why she's able to run all these businesses. And, she does so much at home with like the cooking and taking care of the kids. A lot of that's her masculine energy. What I love about her, she's very submissive. Masculine does not equal dominance. So she has masculine energy, but she's very submissive. So for me, that works out really well in her case. You see what I'm saying? So, but if you're a woman and you don't want to be in your masculine, you want to be honored for your feminine and love for your feminine, you got to learn to be in your feminine and be feminine. And by being feminine, it's still going to attract a man to you, and it's still going to draw him, into like a deeper connection with you. But you have to actually do it. I hear a lot of women talk about that, but they don't really want to study feminine energy and feminine expression. Like, they don't want to get into what that actually means. Oftentimes, that's because they don't know where to go. Like, the people they're listening to don't really know what real feminine energy actually is. So they're not really getting the education they need. But the bottom line is, if you're a woman and you study feminine energy, study feminine expression, and you begin to actually do that on a day-to-day basis, you'll find that your man's going to appreciate you for it. Even if he's saying that he loves you for your masculine, you'll see that he's actually, really loving you and appreciating for your feminine energy. And so I advise women to go ahead and experiment with that and see how their man responds. Now, if he doesn't respond well to it, then you have to use your feminine energy to change the relationship. Change it so that he does respond better to your feminine energy. Again, it's what we're talking about, feminine power. You change the structure of the relationship. You change how your man views you. You change how your man values you. You change all these dynamics. And so you want to create a scenario where he loves you for your feminine expression. So you use your feminine energy and power to create that with your man.
The reason why I asked that is because a lot of women, that are dealing with a dark masculine man, they want him to initiate contact all the time, if possible. And in many cases, he's not initiating contact, like, or rarely initiating contact. And so, like, they're forced almost to be in their masculine and initiate contact with him. And after a while, that just, like, it doesn't feel good. But it's like, but then they'll say, but if I don't initiate contact, then we just won't be talking at all.
Well, again, those are women who they're not practicing utilizing their feminine energy as a way to have him initiate contact. So instead of, instead of like studying that information and really practicing it, they just get mad or upset that he's not contacting them. They jump right back into their masculine and reach out and usually lash out or whatever. And it's just, it's a never-ending cycle. If you want something different, you got to do something different. And too many women in this scenario are not doing anything different. They're not changing the way they actually function on a day-to-day basis, the way they think. to actually get a different result with their man. And again, I know some of them do try, but again, unfortunately, they're not tapped into the correct information to help them do this.
So what would you say to a woman who's like, okay, look, I stopped initiating. It's been like a month now, 2 months, whatever. He still hasn't messaged me. What the hell?
Yeah, you gotta keep practicing and get into your feminine energy.
What does that mean?
It means your feminine energy is not strong enough to get him to initiate. You have to continue to develop it, continue to study, continue to practice. When it's strong enough, he will begin to initiate. Okay. That's how it works.
Okay, so you're confident that any woman who's involved with a dark masculine man, if she really cultivates her feminine energy, she can get him to initiate contact with her.
Yes.
Okay. All righty. So free will is not violated in any of this because it's really about cultivating your feminine power, adding more value. And so his free will does not get violated, right?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to choose to do what he wants to do. So again, she's not subversing his free will. She's just focusing her energy on the things that she wants. Mm-hmm. And then it's up to him to decide if he wants to, you know, follow up on that or not follow up on that.
Okay. So yeah, those are all the questions that I list. Oh, okay. There's one more. Are there any limitations? Can a woman really, do you really believe in all of your experience that any woman who's involved with a dark masculine man can get what she wants from him? Do you truly believe that?
Yeah, I do believe it. Okay. You know, I believe that, and just like I said, across the board, you know, if we have a desire for something, then it's possible. You know, the question is, are we willing to do what's required to make it happen? Most people are not. Most people say they want money. They're not willing to do what's required to get money. Most women say they want their dark masculine man. They're not willing to do what's required to get the dark masculine man. They rather just complain about it and that kind of stuff, you know, because they're addicted to the victim stuff and they're addicted to the rejection. They want to stay in that. So when you see women in that cycle over and over and over again, you know, not getting what they want, it's because they're addicted to that feeling. They're addicted to being rejected. They're addicted to, you know, being in a victim space. See what I'm saying? Because in any other scenario, you know, no sane human being would do that. You know, if I'm failing over and over again at a particular job or whatever, I'm changing jobs. You see what I'm saying? I'm gonna find the people who love me. I'm gonna find the job that pays me. I'm gonna find the people who respect me. I'm gonna keep striving and growing my skills and studying and improving until I get what I want. That's the normal path in life. But if somebody's just stuck with the same situation over and over and over and over again and getting the same exact result after years and years and years, then that's a person who's addicted to the failure, addicted to being a victim, and addicted to the rejection. They actually love being in that position because they find power in that. You know, they use that rejection and that failure as a way to, you know, push their life along and, you know, whatever it is that they're doing. So that has to be looked at. There's a psychology behind people who do the same thing over and over again. I think it's something that's going to change.
When you say they find power in the rejection, can you explain that?
Yeah. You know, it's like Jim Carrey said, his mother was a professional victim. So she would always be in pain every day. And she did that to gain attention to herself. And that's how Jim Carrey became a comedian, because she was in pain every day. He had to do something every day to make her laugh and that kind of stuff. But she used being a victim, she used being in pain as a way to gain attention, right? Mm-hmm. So a lot of women use that pain, use their victimhood as a way to, you know, gain attention or to, you know, have people talk to them or have people sympathize or empathize with them. Like, there's a lot of people out there right now, they're professional victims, and they're utilizing that pain just to gain attention. And, you know, you see a lot of that online. Like I've always told people, most of the people who are doing podcasts online and giving relationship advice are single, they have no legacy, they don't have what it is that they're claiming they can give to people. And, you know, why is that? It's because really they're using the pain of their failed relationship or relationships as a way to gain, you know, notoriety and attention from the viewers out there in social media. So most people who are doing this work that I've seen, they're not married, they have no legacy, they don't have the love and the passion that they want, but they're still giving all the advice. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? And that's because they're using their pain to gain attention. And so that's what I mean by that. And again, there's nothing wrong with that. You know, there's people use their pain to accomplish all kinds of great things. People, you know, people who become professionals and become multimillionaires, a lot of them just ride their pain to that. They want the notoriety now. You know, they were teased a lot, or they weren't the cool kid in school when they were younger. So they use that pain of rejection to become a multimillionaire so they can get the women that they want or whatever it is. Like, it's part of human nature.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, relative to the dark masculine, you know, this is what we're seeing as well. Like, women who are pretty much addicted to being in that space of not getting what they want, not manifesting what they want, and complaining about it. Like forever. And it's like, no, you need to make a change and a shift. Period. What are you doing? Why is it the same result?
So you mentioned something on your page. I can't remember exactly how you worded it, but it was something about scarcity trauma. Women that are in scarcity trauma. So can you say a bit more about that?
I think I was just talking about women having a scarcity mentality, where, you know, like right now we have a lot of women, for example, and men, but women who, they just don't have any good men around them who they're attracted to and who are also attracted to them. So they create a scenario where it's scarcity. You see what I'm saying? Like, they want to believe there's no good men. They want to believe there's no possibility of a good relationship. And so they create that scenario where there's literally no men they're attracted to and no men that are attracted to them, who we would call marriage material. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to explain that, you know, what I work with my clients on is like, no, you should be able to create a scenario where most of the men or many men around you are great men and, you know, marriage material. And you're attracted to them and they're attracted to you. And again, not that you need to be with all those men, but that's an abundance scenario where there's so many possible men that you could possibly choose from and be with. Mm-hmm. And that's a mindset issue, you know, no different than money. You know, some people just, they can't see any way to make money. You know, they're just down and out, and you know, it's been that way for months or years. And that's a scarcity mentality, when reality is, there's a lot of money out there to be made. There's a lot of opportunities, a lot of ways that we can make money. But because we're in a scarcity mentality, we can't see those ways to make money. We can only see what we don't have. Mm. And, you know, as human beings, again, it's part of its human nature. But a lot of times we focus on what we don't have or what we claim we can't reach or whatever it might be. And that's a scarcity mentality. And, you know, women need to get out of that, especially if you want to get into a, you know, solid relationship and a passionate one with a man who loves you. You can't be in a scarcity situation, you know. And one of the issues with women who are dating dark masculine is they have this hardcore belief that, you know, this is the only possible dark masculine situation I can be in. I remember talking with one of your clients, and we were talking with one of your clients. And she admitted that before she's with her current dark masculine, she had one previous to this. Well, wait a minute. If you had one prior to this, you know what I'm saying? That means there's more than one out there.
More than one.
So this whole idea that this is the only one, no, what it is, you need to open up your mindset and allow yourself to accept the reality that you can be surrounded by these types of men that you're deeply, deeply attracted to. Mm-hmm. And that these men are also attracted to you, and that you could actually choose to date any one of these men, and they would love you and accept you and protect you and the whole nine. So again, it's a mental thing. It's a mentality switch.
So would you say that the scarcity mindset is the number one issue that women are having in this relationship dynamic?
It's a big issue. The scarcity mindset's a big issue. Just not thinking that you can have anything better. You just really don't believe that. And part of that's from childhood, just being rejected at a young age and being told you weren't enough at a young age. And, you know, when you did find that one little thing of happiness when you were a kid, you clung on to it and, you know, didn't want to let it go because you didn't believe you would ever have it again or have something else again. And so, yeah, scarcity is a big thing, no doubt. You know, being addicted to rejection and victimhood is a big thing. And not being inside your power as a woman is a big thing as well.
Wow. You shared some powerful info, Rakim.
All right. I love it. I love
really
it.
Really good food for thought. Profound. Okay. Where can people follow you, reach out to you, hire you?
Yeah, people can find me at the mysteryschool.live. That's mysteryschool.live. That's where my school is. You know, I teach about goddess work and queendom work and spirituality there. You can hire me by going to carlystevensjr.as.me. That's where my scheduler is. Or just email me, rakimsekou@gmail. And yeah, I would love to work with you. So hit me up. Let's get it going on.
Thank you so much, Rakim Sekou. I really enjoyed having you on my show.
Thanks for having me, Leslie. Take care.